Is it easy to do the right thing? It is? Yes? No? Sometimes? Okay. Just sometimes, I definitely feel that. And especially as you get older, there's going to be times when it gets more and more difficult to do the right thing, whether it is at school or with your siblings. It gets hard to do the right thing sometimes. But does God want us to do the right thing? So then I have a question. I want you guys to take the time to think about it. Why is it difficult for us to do the right thing? Have you guys ever thought about that? Go ahead. Because we have a sin nature. Who can tell me what sin is? Yes, that's exactly how I was going to say it. Sin is anything that we do that goes against God, anything that we say that goes against God, or anything that we even think that goes against what God wants us to do. And the Bible says that every single one of us has a sin nature within us. And since that is our normal way of living and our normal way of being, it is hard for us to do the right thing that God wants us to do. But because of this, and because God wants us to do the right thing, he did something about it. In Romans 8, it talks about how God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and by dying on the cross for our sins, he satisfied God's justice. When he died on the cross, though, he took the punishment for our sins, but he also gave us a new way of living. Since he died in a similar body just as we have, through his death, we can have the Holy Spirit living within us. When we have the Spirit of God living within us, that is the way that God helps us to do the right thing. Now, the Bible talks, in Romans 8, it talks about this as living life in the Spirit. And all of those who believe in Jesus as their Savior have the Holy Spirit of God living within them. And when we have the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit helps us to do what's right. Part of the reason why we take the time to memorize Bible verses at Awana's and come to church is so that we can learn about the things that God wants us to do. When we learn these things and hide God's word in our heart, that's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit reminds us of the things that God wants us to do. So for all of us who do believe in Jesus and have asked Jesus to save us from our sins, that means we have the Spirit of God living within us. And if the Spirit of God is living within us, then we can actually live lives that are pleasing and glorifying to God, because God gives us the strength to do that. So thank you for coming up here, guys. Go ahead and sit on down. And then, okay, awesome. Go ahead and stop over here first. We do have little gift bags for all of you guys. And then if Tom Wrench, yeah, he's already up here. Awesome, perfect.
Worship comes in many different forms. And normally, our worship service consists of three or four songs, the offering, and then a sermon. Four times a year, we have a fifth Sunday of the month, and today is that fifth Sunday for the month of April. We're going to be doing something different, unique, on those fifth Sundays of the month. That may include more singing, testimonies, times of prayer together. It may include a teen service. It may include missionary speakers, a variety of different things. So today, the service is going to be built around the theme of Romans chapter 8. And we really hope that you enjoy this. If you do enjoy this, please let Missy know. And let me introduce to you my friend Danny Randall.
All right. I get to share a couple scriptures. This is God's letter to you. It's his written word. It's his instruction on how to live a blessed Christian life. So, that being said, I've got to do this quickly. I want to share 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, Christ Jesus, our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy. In verse 13, Though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and shamefully, outrageously, and aggressively insulting to God, nevertheless, I obtained mercy because I acted out of ignorance and in unbelief. That's a very powerful scripture right there. God forgave Paul. And all right, my next scripture is Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. And rejoice in the Lord always. That's delight and gladden yourselves in him. And again, I say rejoice. Paul says it twice for emphasis. Verse 5, let all men recognize and perceive your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. The Lord is near, and he is coming soon. Verse 6, do not fret or have any anxiety or worry about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Verse 7, and God's peace be yours, that tranquil state of your soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And verse 8, this is where we came here. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things and fix your minds on them. All right, and I got a short story I want to read to you. So I'm going to do it real quickly. It's called The Night Before Jesus Came. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressed to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing their heads. And Mom in her rocker, with her baby on her lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash. I tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his faith made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him, in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. Those people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when it comes to the last call, we'll find that the Bible is true after all. Thank you. My life growing up normal was, I had a father that drank a lot. He was actually a drunk, you know. Well, I used to get up at 3 in the morning all the time because of the loud music my dad would be playing. And then an argument would start with my mom. And then police would come. And all the children would go to a restaurant. And Mom would call people and say, can you take Kathy? Can you take Debbie? Can you take Sandy? Can you take Linda? Can you take Russ? Can you take Danny? And that's... And then we'd stay with some other people for a couple of weeks and come back and all the furniture would be broke. But, and anyway, that's kind of how I grew up, doing crazy stuff like that. And by the time I was 10 or 11, I started hanging with, I don't know, it started off early, I'll tell you that, because 11 or 12, I was breaking into railroad train cars and selling the spirit of this biker club that wasn't very far away. And I actually took my first car at 12, 13. I got caught for that beer thing. We did that a lot. We kept getting it and breaking into them. And I got sentenced to, well, I went to juvenile home two or three times, the Pasadena Playhouse, which I escaped from there. I thought that was a great thing. I waited till the right time and I made it over the fence and ran through that cemetery there and crossed over Flushing Road and ran into that water and they were all looking for me. But anyway, after that I got caught in a the judge sent me to Whitmore Lake Boys Training School. I played that role. I actually tried to go with the program for a while there, but I just couldn't get it. I just wanted to front and get out of there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I stayed there at the Boys Training School till I was about a month from 18 years old. So that's how I spent my childhood. And then after that, I really got crazy. Because all before this, what I left out was, I think I first started doing, 13 years old, I was doing acid and THC and mescaline and, of course, drinking. And when I first started doing cocaine, that was the real taken off downfall. I became so numb to the world by then, you know, I didn't care about people at all. Well, let me tell you, I was in every single drug program that you can be in. I was in the Rubicon Honesty House. I was in New Pass. I was in Residence Awareness Program. I did the Salvation Army thing. I think I did New Pass twice. I have every certificate from NA, AA, all of them. And as soon as I got out, all I wanted to do was go back to the drug, cocaine. It really had a hold of me. With all the other things going on in my life, that's really what I was going for. I don't think a day went by when I didn't think of, you know, I got sick if I didn't have a way to get some. Mm-hmm. That's how it was. Mm-hmm. It really was. I hated it. I really did. Eventually, I remember walking to wherever I was going back to, and I did still have a bunch left, and I was sick of it, Tom. I was sick of it. And I prayed. I just, you know, I'd heard about God before, but I never thought anything about it. But that was it. That was the real, I said, I am tired of living like this. I'm not following rules. And I just don't want to do it anymore. Please take it away. Now the next day when I did finally wake up, I had it and I got rid of it. And then that was the beginning of, and it, I just never did, I just, the feeling was gone. It really was. That was the very beginning of it. Incredibly, Tom, because I couldn't imagine my life without it. I couldn't imagine being an evil person like I was. I couldn't, I wouldn't want to be that. Because when Christ is in your heart, it takes that from wanting to hurt a brother, it takes and changes that all around to wanting to help a brother. That's how it is. That is really truly how it is. Like I said, I was all that terrible evil and numbness of the world that I had, I don't have it anymore. It's gone. It's completely changed. That's the miracle really in me, Tom. Because, you know, I had to start studying. I didn't know what to do. I really just said,
I didn't know anything. Please help me. Teach me. So what do? And I go to the Bible and I find some scripture. I think one of the first ones I found was 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that was one of the first scriptures that I put in my mind. So then I said, okay, how do I do that? Because I really wasn't much of a reader at all or anything, no education. So that's another benefit that came from reading the Bible. My reading started being a lot better. Mm-hmm. And words I didn't know, I would get the dictionary and I'd look them up. There's so many things like that that I started doing. It was not me, though, because I'm never going to take credit. It was all God helping me, and it just grew from there. Wow. And I had this, that's one of my gifts, is my memory, and God used it. You know, and I'm not a speaker in front of people, but I'm doing this so that I can, because I don't want to quench the spirit. And I've learned so much, and to whom much is given, much is required. You know which one it's going to be. It's going to be the very last one. After, let me go to it, since we're talking. You know, anytime you're discussing the Bible, you should get the Bible out. That's how I do it. Romans 8. 37, amid all these things we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. 38, for I am persuaded beyond doubt, I am sure, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending, nor threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, 39, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's my favorite, Tom.
Amen.
Although right from the very beginning of it, there's no condemnation. Mm-hmm. For those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's it. So that's the big change right there. Those who walk in the Spirit want to please God. They want to please. And walk in the flesh, you want to please your flesh. You're never going to get nowhere that way.
So then, I find this law at work. Whenever I want to do good, evil is right there beside me. See, in my mind, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner again to the law of sin and death at work in my body. What a wretched man I am. I mean, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So then, in my mind, I'm a slave to the law of God. In my flesh, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sacrifice. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirements of the law could be met in all of us who live, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now those who live according to the flesh, they have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live on the Spirit, they have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh, it's death. But the mind governed by the Spirit, life, peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile toward God. It doesn't bow to God's law, and it can't. So everyone who lives according to the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ lives in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, then they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ lives in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of the one who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you, then the Spirit of the one who raised him from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that lives in you.
We continue to worship and we sing of our incredible need for the Lord.
So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to it. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, and you have not received a spirit that leads you again to fear. No, no, you have received the spirit of sonship. And by it we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. And I consider that our present suffering isn't worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For creation itself waits in eager anticipation for the sons of God to be revealed, because we know that creation was subject to frustration, and not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that it would be liberated from decay into the freedom and glory of the sons of God. So we know that creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth up to this very moment. And not just that. We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It's to this hope that we have been saved. But hope that is seen is no hope. Who hopes for what they already have? And if we hope for what we don't yet have, we wait for it patiently. And in our weakness, the Spirit of God helps us. We don't even know what to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that words can't begin to describe. And the one that searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit intercedes for all the saints in accordance with God's will, so that we know God is working all things together for our good, because he loves us and he called us according to his purpose. Because those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
My grandfather used to say, God is with us, and God will always be with us. Every time that we had the Lord's Resistance Army, or the LRA, we were in a village, it was fear. The fear of being abducted and being trained to become child soldiers. All the hats were burnt to the ground. I felt hopeless. No food, no water. It sent me into silence. My grandfather used to give us candy for memorizing Bible verses. It gave me hope. When the war intensified, my grandfather put me on a bus to live with my mother. My mother did not share much about her life because she had her own struggles. But I remember this Saturday, she woke me up and she said, I'm taking you to church. I saw children laughing. I had no idea what was going on. But I knew this was a good thing.
Give me that smile. Malakwa, beautiful.
And my life was forever changed. That same month, I got a letter from my husband and wife, and the letter said they loved me. And at that moment, I had hope that everything would be okay. Growing up, My compassion sponsors encouraged me and continually spoke truth into my life. The Compassion Project became a place of healing and restoration. It was a place of refuge for me. I got medical care. I got an education, and it became a great reminder of the Jesus that my grandfather introduced me to at the age of 5. If you're thinking about sponsoring a child, I would say act. Sponsor a child. Because for me, my life was forever changed. And you can do that too.
Good morning. As you can see, today is Compassion Sunday. It is an event throughout the United States. They have an annual event to help spread the kingdom. Okay, that is the main goal, is to further God's kingdom through us being the hands and feet of Jesus. Compassion International is an organization that helps us to sponsor children, to get them the things that they need just to survive. It works in impoverished areas through their local church partners. So when we adopt children, I have a table out front. If you choose to adopt, well, it's kind of like adopting, I say adopting, sponsor a child. It's kind of like adopting a child from afar and meeting their needs where they're at. We got involved back in 2015. Dave Gilmore, that was his passion, Compassion International was. And when he passed, God put it on my heart to keep it going here at our church. And so every year we host a compassion event where we are given the packets. As you can see, I brought the girls up here from Elevate. They agreed to help me this morning. You guys want to stand up and just show some of the packets, and there's more out on the table. We've actually had two already picked up this morning for sponsorship, so that is awesome. So please meet, come out and see us at the table. There's countries throughout the whole the world that they help to sponsor these children at, and they just added 4 new countries. So what it does is it is a monthly, let's see here, in these packets it shows you, it's one child. If you sponsor a child, it's you. It's your family. There's no one else that sponsors that child. It's $38 a month. It's correspondence with that family, with that child. And I say the family because the first letter I received was actually from the mother. Girls, you can sit down. I know they're like, thank you. So it's not just the child that you're helping, it's the whole family. And the most important thing is they're getting partnered with a church, so they're hearing the gospel. A lot of these families, well, most of these families, they have not heard about Jesus. So the local church is meeting the needs of these families in tactical ways with food, clothing, and education. But more importantly, they're hearing about the Lord. And not just that child, but their family. Okay, so we're being the hands and feet to help them. Like this, I picked this little guy. His name is Gene, and he is from Nicaragua. And I picked him because he has been waiting more than 320 days for a sponsor. And there's many other children that are out there, too, that have been waiting a while. But it gives you a background on him, his family, and it tells you here your monthly support. It will give Gene support to combat malnutrition, healthcare, immunizations, education and income-generating skills. They teach them life skills. It's children up to, when you sponsor, it's till they're between 18 and 22. So it teaches them life skills so they can go out and break that cycle of poverty. Of course, they get the gospel message and spiritual guidance and a relationship with you. We write letters back and forth, at least a couple a year, but as many as you would like. You know, we actually correspond more. I send pictures. They send me back pictures. I have pictures of their whole family from when we were sponsoring since he was little up to now, and he's 15. And some of you may ask, how do you pick? Okay, you can either just go out and pick up a packet. You can go online. It's compassion.com, and you can look there. I picked based on my son's birthday. I put in his birthday on Compassion, and it pulled up a child that had almost the exact same birthday. They are 4 days apart. And so, and from the Dominican Republic. I picked there because we have a friend that came from a poor area in the Dominican. And so, it just however you feel led to sponsor, to pick. Okay. What I also would like to do is, I know we have a lot of sponsors out there already, is if you can either see me or drop a picture off, or I can take a picture from your picture, I'd like to make some kind of a wall so we can see all the kids from around the world that we help to sponsor. Okay. I know last year we added three more. Like I said, we've already added two more today. Okay. You will get things like a progress report. Okay, it tells about their growth in school and things that they're doing in their community, how they are being led spiritually. If you are not sure, that's what dropped here. If you're not so sure, if you have questions, I know people have some questions about how does this work. Come and see me. There are booklets, or just come and pick up a booklet. It explains in the book in here more about how the funds are used. They go to Compassion International, and then through a church sponsor, and then they know the needs of how to best meet the needs of the child. Kids, there are things out there for you. There are booklets. Please come by. There's plenty of booklets. If we run out, I can get more. Come by and pick up a booklet here. There's different kinds of stories and activities in here for you. So make sure you come by and get them. Most importantly, please pray about it. Whether you sponsor today or maybe another time, or you already are a sponsor, there's thousands and thousands of kids that are already out there waiting. And we know throughout the world that need to hear the gospel, that need to hear about Jesus. So please pray for them prayerfully. Think about sponsoring a child today. Thank you.
When an opportunity of changing the life of one child is presented, our job as the body of Christ is to respond the same way that Jesus responded. Introducing them to Jesus, introducing them to the everlasting love of God. If you're thinking about sponsoring a child, I would say act. Because for me, when my packet was picked up, it was not just a packet. My sponsors picked me. And with faith in Christ, my life was forever changed. And you can do that too.
He says that we are. Let's sing.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love. Slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
declare, I am chosen, I am loved. Don't let any doubt or fear let you believe differently. We declare together what God says of us. We are His. Sing it together.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Let that sink in.
I am chosen, not forsaken.
That again.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the Son.
What shall we say then in response to all this? If God is for me, who can be against me? He who didn't spare his own son but freely gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against those God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? I mean, Jesus Christ himself, who died, more than that, was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of God right now, also interceding for us, and who can separate us from the love of God? Can danger, tribulation, famine, nakedness, the sword? No. As it's written, we face death every day for your sake. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, any power, height, depth, or anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Man, thank you, Scott. You may be feeling like you're being treated a little bit differently today than you normally are. You know, normally in life, you and I are treated like consumers. People just try to get us to take in whatever they're selling or whatever they're showing. And if they, maybe in a setting like this, they treat us like an audience, and they just try to build audience and get the bottoms in the seats so that we can consume whatever product we're selling. But Jesus says you are a disciple, and disciples do. Disciples follow. So today is all about living our life in Christ, not just watching somebody else live it or talk about it. We're trying to lead you. So thank you for our worship team to lead us into an incredible worship experience. Thank you, Scott, for leading us to God's word. Thank you, Danny, for sharing that beautiful testimony and leading us to do that with others. Thank you for Brooke and our teens for leading us into going out and giving to the poor, which God commands us to do. All right, and now I'm going to lead you into doing something you may not be super comfortable with. We are told to lift up our requests, our prayers to God, and we're going to spend about 4 minutes today where I'm not praying, you are praying. Okay, and I'd like for you to grab a couple people around you if you're comfortable. If you don't like to pray with other people, just go ahead and sit there and pray by yourself. Before people start looking around, just do this, all right? Just put your head down. That'll be the sign. Leave me alone. I got this. And we're going to spend some time, and I'm going to give you a prompt every 30 seconds or so. I'm going to give you a prompt or something to pray about. So go ahead and take a second and just group up if you want to group up with your family, if you have a neighbor, or if you have somebody that you want to pray with, and just ask, how can I pray for you right now? How can I pray for you right now? And let's go to the throne together. And go ahead, you pray out loud if you're with a group. We should just hear a low murmur across the auditorium. Let's pray. We're going to take time to praise God for saving you, for what He has done in your life. God is the creator of all things. Praise Him for making this great creation for us to steward. Praise God for giving you strength for the trials that you've gone through. Let's ask for our missionaries, those around the world who are spreading the gospel, to be protected and to see people come to faith. Pray for our government, our leaders at all levels, for their wisdom, integrity, courage. Ask God's Spirit to guide us, Mayfair Bible Church, as we follow Jesus faithfully in the future. pray for people in your city, in your family, in your state, in our world to be reached by the gospel of Christ. Maybe you know somebody by name. This is your time to lift them up. Father, as we close this time, forgive us for neglecting to come to you. Thank you for your grace of continuing to meet with us, to strengthen us, to protect us. Lord, we ask in these next two songs, this last moment of worship, that you would continue by the work of your Spirit to change us.